Blessed be to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, and was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Those are the eternal questions that the sanctified people of God ask. When we feel secure, we still wonder what might separate us from that sweet, sweet love of God. What keeps us separated? What keeps the gap between our Creator and us so huge that we might feel infinitesimally small and worthless in a beautiful place like this? It's the eternal question, the question all creatures ask, even when it's asked without words, with those groans so deep that only the Spirit can discern them. Does God really love me? That's the question. Does God love me enough to keep me connected? Is God's love strong enough for me that the pain of the world and the horror of my existence cannot separate me from God? Is God's love actually that strong? That's the question that so many of us bring to this place, spoken or unspoken, because that's what it means to be human. People suffering with eternal questions about our worth, dignity, value, and purpose. We struggle, we have anxiety about them, we worry and we fret. But here in this place, we are more than human. If you've been tracking what I've been preaching lately, we are more than human. We can become superhuman. We who have been baptized into Christ and raised into his new life are something different from what we were before. We've moved from glory to glory. We've changed states, as it were. We have become more, not better, just something different. We found our truest selves, and we are embracing it, and we are moving forward into the future with the conviction that what we have inside can actually change the world. But even then, even still, we who have been washed in the waters, we who have embraced our identity as not just humans, but superhumans able to change the world, even we still ask ourselves, when the sun goes down and the stars are twinkling and our mind is racing, even then we ask, does God really love me? That's such a hard place to live. To not have the answer to the biggest question of all, does my life actually matter? I mean, that's really what we're asking when we ask, does God love me? We're asking if our lives matter. We're asking whether the fabric of our daily lives has any value beyond what we think. We just want to know that our lives mean something. And as people, we want to know that they matter, that we're making a difference, that the light that we give off actually does illuminate the darkness, that we're leaving a mark on this world. We want our lives to have meaning and purpose, and yet sometimes it is just so hard to find it. I have a t-shirt, well, had, that said, Existential Crisis Club, Lifetime Member. That's how it feels sometimes, to struggle to find ourselves and our meaning and our purpose. And in a world like ours that is suffering from horror and suffering from pain, that is seeing the rise of tyranny around the world, and in a world like ours where we see very public returns of racism and xenophobia in the public square, in a world like ours still covered by the horrifying blanket of war, in a world like ours, no wonder we ask ourselves these kind of questions. When we see all of this, when we survey all of this in the world, it's no wonder we ask ourselves if our lives matter, because it seems to me that so many people around the world are convinced that everything is meaningless. See, and really, when we feel like that, when we believe that our lives don't matter, we also believe our neighbors' lives don't matter. When we feel like that on the inside, when we're convinced that something is broken about us, we're convinced of the same thing about our neighbor. And well, that's when we can be assured that at our depth, we are lonely and disconnected and scared. And after being in ministry for so many years, I've come to believe that people act out of what they feel more often than what they believe. And when we feel lonely and scared and disconnected, we simply cannot be our best selves. And so we harm ourselves, or we harm one another. We don't offer goodness to the world because we are convinced that there is no goodness within to offer when we're lonely and disconnected and scared. When we feel like our lives don't matter, then of course the lives of the people around us don't matter. When we're convinced that our lives have no purpose because there is no purpose and meaning left in the world, when it's all been evacuated, then we're going to feel the same about ourselves, our neighbor, and everybody else. That eternal question coming from creatures like us, does God really love me, comes from a place of isolation and fear. But Paul, blessed Paul, who doesn't always get it right, got it right here. Our brother Paul gives us an answer to that question that keeps us awake at night. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we come to this place with a whole host of feelings of pain and isolation and fear and everything else we bring, some of us bring those feelings of loneliness, disconnection, and fear. We wake up every day feeling the crushing weight of being human. We begin our life's work every day trying to be a parent, just trying to live, right? Just trying to make it till the end of the day, trying to be a good spouse or a good partner. We do all of that and we begin it with a deficit. When we are convinced that we are worthless and our lives don't matter and that we are small, pathetic creatures standing before the grandness of a God whose wrath is just waiting to be poured out upon us. That's the God I was taught to believe in when I was growing up. But that is not the God I have found in the face of Jesus Christ. When we begin our day like that in fear, of course, we're not going to find much meaning and purpose. But if we begin our day clinging to the conviction that nothing can separate us from the love of God, no angels, nor rulers, nor things present, not even the future, whatever goodness or horror comes, no powers. And for Paul, that meant rulers of all sort, no government, no community, nobody else can separate you from the love of God, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, in the entire cosmos, at the farthest edge of the universe, or in the secret places of your heart that you rarely dare to interrogate. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel that we sing and we proclaim. That the worst thing we've done cannot separate us from the love of God. Not even the worst thing we are planning to do tomorrow. Although I hope you don't plan your harm. Even then, and this is the most ridiculous claim that the gospel has, even then, you are still worthy. Dear people of God, can you take that into yourself right now? Can you take into your heart the idea that you are worthy and beautiful? Can you take it and implant it in that deep space Can you take this truth and cling to it and let it become yours? That the God of all creation who hung the stars with a word, who set the Big Bang into motion, this God is so close and connected to you despite anything and everything that we do as individuals or as a species, despite all of it. God is present at the deepest place of who you are, regardless of what you've done. The God of all creation is as close and intimate with you as possible. That's the conviction that I bring when I come into a place like this. Just sit with it for a moment. This is for you. This truth is for you and me. This goodness is for you and me. This grace is for you and me. And that's what all of this is. A gift that we don't deserve, yet we get anyway. Grace, that unearned gift of God that is given to us as a birthright that goes into the deepest place of who we are and changes us from being human to superhuman, that helps us move from one state to another, from glory to glory. That is your birthright today. So if you've come here feeling lonely and disconnected and scared because you are convinced that something has separated you from God's love, hear now again the answer that Paul gives us, which is God's answer being spoken through him. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, friends. And right now, if you need to make a change in your life to know that and feel it, we are here for you. Salvation is free. Grace is free. The embrace of the people of God is free. And it's for you, wherever you are on your journey. It's for you. Amen.